Well, again, I want to offer my personal appreciation to all the people who have, as I say, make our religious education program such a vital and integral part of our Sunday services, our overall congregational program. In a few moments, the flowers that you brought here and were put at the front of the table, we're going to distribute them back to you in just a moment, but I'm going to take a few minutes now to tell you why we do that. It's to honor a very special person in our Unitarian Universalist history. Before I mention and tell you a little bit about Norbert Capek, however, I want to briefly mention someone a little closer to home here, whom I know a number of you knew, who passed away this past week. She was not a member of this congregation, but I knew her quite well, Ruth McKay, sort of a very dedicated local peace activist here. She was a United Church of Christ congregational, but I was my pleasure to know her and came to admire her dedication, her resolve, and the way that she formulated her witness for peace in terms of her religious understandings and convictions. So I did not want, even though we're not doing a formal joys and concerns, I did not want to let the morning go by without taking note of her passing and the contribution that she made to the life of our community and her witness for peace and for social justice. The service we're about to observe here had its first observance in the city of Prague, Czechoslovakia, on the 24th of June in 1923. It was put forth, or was asked to be done by the minister of a then fledgling Unitarian congregation in Prague. His name was Reverend Norbert Capek, C-A-P-E-K. That's a Slovakian name. I'm probably not pronouncing it entirely correctly. But he asked that it be observed on the first anniversary of a Unitarian congregation that he founded in the city of Prague, as I say, a year earlier in 1922. How he got there is a fascinating story, one that I won't hit the very high points today. Norbert Capek was born in the late 19th century in what country was then called Bohemia, raised in a very strict Catholic family. He later became a Baptist minister, and then, similar to my own journey, he sort of moved from the more conservative to very liberal progressive wing of the Baptist church that he was a part of. Shortly before World War I, he came from what was then called Bohemia to the United States, lived in the New Jersey area where he was a pastor for a Slovakian Baptist church, and he edited and founded and edited a newspaper for persons of Slovakian descent in the New York and New Jersey areas. It was while he was in this country that he made the discovery that a number of you made and that brought you here, namely that he had been a Unitarian for a number of years without really knowing it. When he took a look at where he was religiously, spiritually, theologically, he decided and made the same decision that I made about 25 years ago, which was to switch affiliation from Baptist to Unitarian. UUA had not been formed at that time, so he became a Unitarian of the Old American Unitarian Association. And then, after World War I, there was a new country in Europe called Czechoslovakia. He decided he wanted to go back to his homeland, found a Unitarian church in the city of Prague, which he proceeded to do. He must have been a pretty amazing organizer, because over the years, that congregation became the largest Unitarian congregation ever gathered anywhere. There were 3,000 members of the Prague congregation, plus a couple of 1,000 other members in satellite churches that he founded in and out in the outskirts of Prague. You can imagine that this made him one of the most recognized liberal religious leaders of his day. He was also a personal friend with the president of Czechoslovakia when he first went back to found his church, Thomas Masaryk. Mr. Masaryk's wife was a Unitarian, and he had friends in high places, which is how he got the movement going. As you know, though, as the 1930s moved into the latter part of the 1930s, and Adolf Hitler and Nazism began their rise first in Germany and then across Europe. In 1938, a very devastating act of appeasement, Czechoslovakia was given to the Nazis. Norbert Capek, as one of the recognized religious liberals of his country, became a marked enemy of the Third Reich. He was sent in 1940 to Dachau concentration camp, where he was executed at the time of his 72nd birthday in 1942. His wife, Maya, however, made it out of Czechoslovakia thanks to the efforts of the newly formed Unitarian Service Committee. She came to this country, and she made it her mission for the remainder of her life. She passed away in California in 1966. She made it her mission for the 20-some years that she was in this country to go to as many Unitarian congregations, and then, as the merger happened, Unitarian Universalist congregations, and tell them about the flower communion and about her husband and about all they had done to bring Unitarianism to that part of the world. And she asked that Unitarian and then Unitarian Universalist congregations around this country celebrate the flower communion in the way that they had started it, both to remember her husband, but as she felt, more importantly, to remember what they were trying to symbolize with the flower communion. And it was just this. Back in 1923, the congregation had just gotten started. They were still meeting in rented space at that time. And on the Sunday prior to that Sunday, June the 17th of 1923, Reverend Capek asked, he said, "When you come here next Sunday, I would like each of you to bring a flower with you." And they did. And he asked the children who were just a part of their very newly forming Sunday school at that time if they would collect the flowers from the people as they walked in. And then the flowers were brought forward and placed at the front of the service as the opening hymn was sung. What he was trying to say by these flowers is, each flower, as you look at them there, some may be of the same genus, but they're all unique. There are no two flowers that are exactly alike. Just as there are no two human beings that are exactly alike. There are no two spiritual paths and spiritual journeys that are exactly alike. And so we bring all of them here together, and we put them together in a single mosaic that forms a whole that is greater than the sum of its parts. And so putting the flowers together was to represent what we look like and what we are trying to do as a liberal religious community. The idea of dispersing them, of having someone take them back, was to symbolize that as we each bring a piece of our lives to gatherings like these and to a community like this, we also take something back from it of the lives that other people have brought. So when the flowers were redistributed, each person was asked to take a flower with them, not the one which they had brought with them. We bring our individual unique lives to this congregation. We put them together to make a mosaic of lives. We each take something back from that mosaic that both enriches and nurtures us in our lives and our continuing spiritual journeys. That was the message that Reverend Capek was attempting to bring to his congregation. Using that as a unifying symbol, they built the largest Unitarian congregation ever gathered. So we honor his memory this morning, and we honor the picture that he was trying to present of what it means to be a part of a liberal religious community. Bearing all that in mind, I'll ask the children now to redistribute the flowers, and we will hear some music, and I think our combined choirs are going to sing for us again as well.